Sorry, I'm just getting a text now that I guess someone hit our garage.
Oh.
Someone hit your garage with a car?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what the damage
no,
is.
No, if you need to go, we can like we can call you back and wrap this up another time.
Just give me like 2 minutes.
Take your time.
I'm going to beat him up. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
And these people are doing it down in the villages. There's all kind of crazy shit happening down there.
They're definitely doing psychedelics.
Definitely. They're doing a lot of mushrooms, a lot of weed. And coke, apparently, is a thing, too. So
it must be, you know.
Because when you think about when you're younger and you take multiple substances, it takes a certain amount of focus.
Yes.
To, like, manage that mind state. I mean, they must be living multiple days in a single night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They get high, and then they take Cialis and do a little something else. And
a little toot, yeah.
They must wake up feeling like,
shit.
Am I dead?
Right.
I might be.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chrissy Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Aliens is appropriate as we bring on the very popular and extraordinarily twisted-minded Noel Miller.
Yes.
He is an incredibly popular online personality. He's been doing YouTube and all the socials for, I don't know, 10, 11 years. We'll get into it with him. This is our second time with Noel.
Yep.
You will recall, or those sharp-eared listeners will recall, that Noel couldn't finish his last interview because some lady drove into his garage.
While we were doing the interview. He's like, his wife was running up and saying, you know, this just happened. And he's like, apparently somebody just hit our house.
That's right.
Can we reschedule this?
Absolutely. So we got like 25, 30 minutes into the interview. It had to be cut short, obviously. You know, he had other things to attend to. I wanted to say, no, we got another 30 minutes. What are you doing? But he's kind enough and nice enough to reschedule. And so here we are, part two with Noel Miller. Noel is an online, like as mentioned, an online personality who has a smorgasbord of creativity out there on the internet. The Tiny Meat Gang, the Tiny Meat Gang podcast, Noel's own podcast. I don't think the Tiny Meat Gang, I don't know if they're around anymore. But anyway, you can go read about it if that's what you choose to do. But we're linking everything down in the show notes, his YouTube channel, his podcast network, his Instagram, and his TikTok, and his live performances, which is, I believe, what he is focusing on right now. That's right. He's on the road. He's got a lot of performances coming up. So he likely is coming to a place near you. Please go get tickets at NoelMillerLive.com. Again, all of the links are in the show notes. I don't want to delay on this one, Chrissy, because I would like to get into it with Noel and enjoy, spread our wings a little bit and talk about some stuff, maybe even get a giggle or two out of him. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so short intro so that we can get to Noel. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, Kristen Joy Hoadley?
I'm on board.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. And through the magic of telepodcasting, Noel Miller will again join us for the conclusion of our interview that got interrupted by some crazy old person who drove into his garage door. Does that sound good to you?
That's
okay.
Good.
I was just waiting for your permission. All right. Chrissy gave us permission.
I'm just thinking about the door being backed into.
Me too.
Yeah.
We'll see if it was backed into. Yeah. Who knew? All right. We'll be back with Noel.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire Commercial Break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you can make fun of us.
That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors. And then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
And Noel is here for part two. Yes. Carissa, yeah. Thank you very much, Noel. Where were we? Where were
I know.
We?
I was trying to think about what we talked about.
Noel, yeah. It took me this long to pick up all the pieces from my garage being driven into.
That's crazy. I was telling Brian, I think we will never have that happen again.
Yeah, that's a once in a lifetime.
We're talking to somebody while somebody hits their house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was, I hope to never have that again. I hope that was a one of one.
I've backed into my own garage. Right. I've never had anybody back into my garage. Did she just back into your garage, or did a person back into your garage? If you can't give all the details, that's okay. But I don't know. I don't know if there's litigation or what's going on.
No, there's no litigation.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, he went nose first into the garage.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah. I think she thought she was in reverse.
Oh, classic mistake.
Yeah.
Was she apologetic?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, very scary.
Or did she come out and say, why'd you put that fucking garage in my way?
No. She stood there. She was really shaken up. She apologized profusely. Now the new garage door is probably three times as heavy. Definitely won't happen again.
Yeah.
You steered away from the aluminum door. Give me something real. Well,
we use car parts from like 1950s Chrysler. So drive into it, you're actually going to fold the front half of the car.
Yeah.
Are you a car guy? Are you into cars?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I would say these days I'm more casual, but yeah, like in my college days, I found a Honda. I'd work on it when I could, and whatever little crummy parts I could afford.
Yeah, you'd soup up your Honda.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Soup up is in quotes.
Yeah, I had
as best you could.
I had a Honda Accord.
Yes, you
and
did.
I did not quote unquote soup it up. I got into a car accident directly after I paid it off, and it took off a good chunk of the front half of the car, basically, that I drove it around.
You still kept
for
driving
another
it.
2 years. Mm-hmm. I would,
nice.
But you couldn't see it from one side. So when I would go like pick somebody up for a date, I'd just park on the other, I'd park facing the other way. See it. Yeah, I wasn't good with cars, so that was it. But yeah, listen, congratulations on a new car, new garage, and your growing baby, who is 9 months old now, you just told us. Yeah. And so you are in the thick of it. How are you sleeping? How is the family doing? How is like the tempo of the house? I'm always interested with newish parents.
It's good. He's actually a really good sleeper.
Oh, fuck you.
Lately, I think he's starting to get his teeth, though.
Oh.
That's been waking him up.
Yeah
that's a
weird time.
Yeah, right now he kind of pops up at like midnight for a short cry. Mm. And then 6 a.m. is when he's like really feeling it.
Yeah, that's when he gets up and starts running around. Do you co-sleep or is he sleeping on his own?
He sleeps on his own. I mean, we kind of split it. Like, it's kind of like whatever we can convince him to do.
Yeah.
But at night, he'll sleep in his crib, no problem. So just kind of rock away and then just pass out. We're lucky though, you know. We've had plenty of nights where he just goes for a full 10 or 12, just conked.
Yeah, they do that on occasion because I think they just zip themselves up so much, and just like us, you know, we sleep well sometimes.
Yeah.
You like lay down, and all of a sudden you wake back up. You wake up in the morning, and you're like, "Wow, I got that night of sleep I'm looking for."
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's more, less and less these days. But it seems like you're doing everything right. Can you come over and teach my children?
Yeah.
Can you come over and teach my children? Because
I mean, we're early phases. You know? Who knows what he'll be like in a year?
Yeah, that's true. So you're now doing more live shows. You just mentioned to us right before the interview that you're doing more theater shows. How many do you have in front of you? What are you looking at? What's the run?
I'm doing at least like two or three every weekend.
Whoa.
All of September, October. So something like that. Yeah.
Two or three every weekend in September and in October.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have a few in November.
So
nice.
You know, you've been so incredibly popular on the internet. You've really built a brand, a couple brands, right? So you've, I mean, you've done all right for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been good. It's definitely been good.
It's been good to you. But the live show is a whole different animal. Now, I know you've been doing this for a while, but the live show is a whole different animal. It's a whole, it's a different creature. It's a different beast. And I think where we left off, because I looked at this last night, was you, do you enjoy the art of the stage, or do you enjoy sitting down, thinking up a skit or a bit or breaking down videos or whatever it is you're doing online? Which one scratches that itch for you more? Or is it just different ways?
No, definitely stand up. I think stand up has always been my first love. I've just, I've never, not never, but I think I wish I could commit more time to it than I could. But the problem with me is I like to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think stand up and performing live is where I think that's where I'm at my best, you know? Making videos online, like it's fun, and it's something I think that comes mostly natural. But I think live is where I'm the most natural.
You get that interaction
most of my element. It's that, but I also kind of like the pressure of a lot of people being. I like that's why I think I do a lot, is because I just function well under pressure. So I like to cook my mind and be as stressed out as possible.
A lot of people are like that.
I'm like
that. Yeah, it seems to be the best version of me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about anxiety that I think, that anxiety, that stress, but it's not in a, it doesn't tear me up like I've seen it tear up other people. It motivates me. And when my mind is in a corner, I fight out of the corner, right? Mm-hmm. And I like that challenge. It makes me feel, I don't know. It's almost like I have a purpose. Like, okay, here we go.
Makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need a goal. But definitely performing live is that's my favorite thing to do.
And when you're up on these, when you're up on stage and you're doing these theater shows, do you, I'd like to ask this of anybody who does stand up, do you read the crowd and move in the direction that the crowd is going? Like, I know from night to night, place to place, some crowds may interact with some material different than they interact with other material, right? It just might be a hot crowd that loves everything you're doing. Everything gets a laugh. And then other crowds, you might need to work up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Do you play with that energy?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think as I've, you know, I've been very fortunate to just like keep logging time on stage and just go to different places. And I think now more or less I have a vibe of what the city is. So sometimes I just use that to give myself like halfway expectations, because you never know.
Sure.
Like you can, it's always variable. So yeah, but to answer your question, I definitely try to tailor what the crowd is feeling. You know, like if they kind of want a lot of material, kind of dial up the tempo and try to give more. If the crowd is maybe a bit more chilled out, like sometimes you get that, you know, you go to a place like Denver and sometimes they're all just like baked out of their mind.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a bit more chill.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to,
you know, slow just like, roll it.
Yeah. You're just kind of rolling with it and just letting the material cook a little bit. So, but yeah, definitely. I think that's part of what makes it fun, is when you can connect with a lot of people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where's your favorite place? Where's the Noel Miller crowd? Like, where is it? Like, oh my God, I can't wait to go play this show.
I mean, I love playing Midwest. I have so much fun in the Midwest
really?
All the time.
We've heard that from other people.
Yeah, we've
too.
Heard that from other people also. They say that the Midwest, it's not only there's a Midwest vibe, right? It's very friendly, but it's working class, a lot of it. And so when they're out having fun, they're out having fun. They're
there's
not.
That,
it's like Miami, where they're partying for a living, right?
There's that, and then also, you know, the Midwest. I love them. Sometimes you can bully them too, because depending where you go, they have sort of cultural niceties baked in. So they might hate what you're saying, but they might think it's rude if they don't laugh. So you can kind of fuck with them a little bit. My humor skews a bit darker, and sometimes I like poking fun at them.
Yeah. Saying,
if you don't laugh, you're going to hell, and you know that. You better enjoy this shit right here. Some of that religious repression is fun to lean on.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, they still like to go to their church. They still Sunday's church day. And so is the South. But the South, I think there's just a different vibe in some places in the South anyway.
South, I think over the years I've learned, South has the same... It's like when the alcohol's in, they're turned up. But if they're just sitting and listening, I find I could say maybe the most... you know, just like by my definition, right? I could say something that's like really awful as far as like a concept or like what's funny to me. And they'll sit there and go, They just take it in.
Yeah.
And no pushback. And they're like, all right, you know, that's how you feel.
It's like they're being polite.
Yeah.
They're being polite to your incredibly twisted mind.
I'm marking myself like I'm crazy. It's not that crazy. Especially this new set. I think it's... I found it to be very relatable up and down the board. You know, I was just in Milwaukee, and that was a great experience because I think that was my most, I think, widespread audience where I had people with X's on their hands that were like 18. And then I had like 50-year-old cornbread dudes, like big burly boys.
Yeah.
And then big guys with their wives and my... stuff I've been working on lately, like everyone was connecting with it. And so I think some of my earlier shows, there's a bit more of those like kind of stale, awkward moments where I say something really fucked up and I just look at the room and smile. Like, you think that's funny, right?
You're with me on this, right? People are like, I don't know if I should agree with that.
Yeah. I realized like some of my material was a lot like, I describe it like, I don't know, just like taking a picture of like a dead body and like holding it to a person and be like, isn't that hilarious? Like, not really. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, but they don't know what to do because they're like, am I supposed to laugh at this? Or does he actually think that's funny? Because if he does, he's probably more dangerous than we might have.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this new stuff I'm working on, and I say that like, you know, anyone who maybe enjoys me on stage, because I tend to be darker. It's not lighter by any means. There's definitely some strains in there where I forced the laughter.
You haven't turned into Jeff Foxworthy?
No. If I was doing, you know, I'd be doing arenas, you know, I'd be retiring next year.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting because there are there's variations in comedy of what people find funny. I tend to go to the darker places also. Yeah. I find when you push the envelope and maybe you recognize that pain can be funny or darkness can be funny, there's some comfort in that for me, but there's also a twistedness that I enjoy. Like my mind can go there and be okay with laughing at it. But then there's lots of comedians. We just had a conversation with a guy named Dusty Slay.
But I know of him. Yeah.
And Dusty's done very well for himself along with Nate and all these other guys who have done very well for themselves. Really keeping a very broad and safe kind of a comedy. And, you know, we ask him like, hey, is that a choice, you know, or is just your brand of humor? Is it a choice to keep it wide open, you know, to bring more people to the front door? And he said, it's kind of both. It's like, it doesn't come natural to me to go to those places. Right. And so that's cool. And he says, and you know, I do enjoy the fact that you can bring your grandpa to my show and it's okay that happens. I would imagine that your audiences tend to, you said, hey, I got people in there with 18 and X's on their hands. And then I got the 50-year-olds that are the big, you know, big boys, you know, like down home, down Southern boys. I would imagine your audiences tend to skew a little bit younger, like seeing a 50 or 60-year-old in your audience might be like, oh, okay, I'm reaching new people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think the audiences are starting to, when I first started, I do 5 shows at a club and all 5 were just diehard fans and, probably, 18 to 23 ish. And then these days it's much more broad and our audience has just grown up. So it's kind of nice because, you know, now they're all, I don't know, I'd say like 23 to 29, somewhere in their 30s.
Yeah.
And then, I get way more like random walk-ups and just older people. And I kind of like when it's, I kind of prefer when it's a big mix like that. Because then I get to use these strangers as a litmus test because, you know, the people that have known me for a while, they trust what I'm saying. And so I could say, I don't know, something dark or whatever. And they know that I'm just fucking around. And so when I get strangers, learning how to kind of like get them on my side and
yeah,
see what I see, I think that challenges. I prefer it sometimes.
Very interesting way of looking at it. But the other thing about like the audience is growing up mm-hmm. with you, right? It's not unlike mm-hmm. a musician starts off young and then, you know, hey, my material changes over the years and I mm-hmm. think about different things. And the audience who's known you that whole time, like you said, they trust you. They know you're funny and they can go with you to those dark places because that's where they've been with you before. But then you gain this new audience, maybe older folks or people who haven't been there, you know, you... Mm-hmm. I think that's really exciting. Like, that's probably the exciting part. Hey, I am reaching new people. I'm still growing as an artist, and I've got new people coming in the door. I have an opportunity to get them on my side.
Yeah, you know, and or, you know, you get like a group of random 30 dudes on a bachelor party. Like all kinds of, yeah. You get like, you know, just random groups in there. But I think what ends up being fun is then in those moments when someone maybe is hating it, then I get to look at my audience and like the people that have known me for a while, and I get to kind of like wink and go,
yeah,
yeah,
we know. Yeah. 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 We know what he's up to. Yeah,
so I always feel like I got backup so I can terrorize people. Yeah.
Are you on tour with other people too? Do you have some openers?
Yeah. 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 You know, I got friends that open up for me, just like, they live in different spots. And, lately I've been, working with like local guys and just trying to give some younger dudes a shout.
Nice.
Put them on a little bit, and yeah, so it's kind of all across the board. Yeah, but I got a lot of guys that I got working the rotation.
Look at you! You're becoming a mentor of sorts to the younger generation.
I still feel young in stand up. You know, like I think all in, maybe I'm at like 7, maybe 8 years, depending where you put the start point and. I feel like you got to do a lot more time to like really, really mentor. But yeah, no, it's cool that I at least have the ability to kind of look at somebody and say, hey, I think you're doing good stuff. And
yeah.
You know, just put them on a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I think age, yeah, of course, you know, the old saying 10,000 hours, right? 10,000 reps. Mm-hmm. That's when someone becomes mm-hmm. an expert at what they do. 10,000 reps mm-hmm. is someone wrote a book about it. But you know, at the same time, you've been entertaining people for a long time in some form or another for most of, if not all, of your adult life, right? And
yeah.
Yeah. And so you have the experience, you have the 10,000 hours of making people smile at your work, or at least thought, you know, think they're creatively, you've put it out there.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy when I think about it. I think I'm coming up on like 11 years.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is wild, and it's you've had such a phenomenal run. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, in the age of new media, mm-hmm. right? In the age of the internet, in the age of new media, and YouTube, and Instagram, TikTok, all this other stuff, you have mm-hmm. been one who has not only had success, but it's not a one-off success. It's not I managed to grow my Instagram to, you know, 500,000 people or whatever. It's that you've built brands, you've built companies, you've branched off. That's mogul-esque, right? It's like you think about things differently, but you should really applaud yourself, or at least recognize that that's not something everybody does. You know, there are a lot of personalities on the internet. Not all of them know what to do with it, right?
Yeah. No, thank you, man. It's something that I struggle to acknowledge within myself.
Yeah.
I've taken on many endeavors, and yeah, I mean, these days I like, you know, I have my podcast network, so I'm running that a lot of the time. And then, you know, I've the past year I've been back on YouTube, just trying to figure out what I kind of want to be making there. And I think I've started to find like kind of the new direction I want to go. That kind of came away with like, I started a kind of like a dystopian commentary podcast called The Company Lot.
Yeah.
And from that I've kind of birthed like a new inspiration for YouTube. And then just working stand-up you know, in between all that, and then, you know, trying to be a dad, and it's like,
yeah, what else can you fit in there?
I know, I know. What else? Slacker.
Yeah, this has been the most like intense, you know,
period of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, listen, but, running a podcast network in and of itself, right? And I know because I worked for one at a high level, and mm-hmm. and it consumed a good chunk of my day. That's not easy. And then all of these other things. What do you find is the new inspiration for your YouTube? Just kind of this like commentary on culture?
You know, like, I think I would say for a majority of my career, you know, I've just kind of been just like a, I don't know, like a dude just like talk shit and fucks around. And, not that I'm trying to be more serious, but I think off camera, like with friends and stuff, I tend to naturally just joke more about, I don't know, just like trending news. And it's not too dissimilar from what I was doing before, but I think I was always kind of afraid to make that jump to just talking about like trending things on my own.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of forced myself to do that, and it's worked out well, and people are supportive, and they seem to like what I'm bringing to the table there. So I don't think I'm fully at where I want to be with that, but you know, I'm like
it's easing your way into
like
it.
Hammering. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you say trending news, are you specifically talking about state of the world type stuff?
Not always. Like I think actually sometimes I take a weird interest in stuff that's like actually kind of boring.
Yeah.
And
fair enough. So do we.
Like, yeah.
Like there's like this whole so you might have seen it, but there are all these posts about this lawsuit with Ozempic and how they're going through like the creators of Ozempic are going through like a $2 billion lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are just kind of like saying that on TikTok and they're just regurgitating that.
Yeah.
And the number is completely made up, and it's like a total mischaracterization of something that's actually happening.
Yeah.
And I think like when you look at things like that, it there's like funny or things to read between the lines on. Like people are just more excited to tell anyone who's skinny that their eyeballs might fall out. Like
that's right.
Really what people want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny like when you, to me, when you look at the last 2 years of people talking about Ozempic, I'm going to take a risk here, but a lot of like fitness guys have taken Ozempic.
Correct.
As like for content and to just, you know, spread awareness. But what's really funny is they talk about Ozempic the same way people talk about a racist. Like they're like, well, you know, yeah, it's got these negative qualities, but you have to look at like what it came from. You know? And like the larger problem is obesity. So it's like, it's not the racist fault. It's that it's the structure.
Yeah. It's where it came from. Right.
Yeah. So I think it's like sometimes I take interest in these really like nuanced things that when you bring it up, there's so much context ahead of it where you like lose people in
that.
But yeah, so I think I'm just like figuring out how I can talk about these things that are otherwise pretty uninteresting to a lot of people.
And put a new spin on it and make it interesting, like from the mind of Noel Miller. I think I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's not dissimilar to the, you know, just to like relate it to what we do for a long time. I mean, like 850 episodes in, but for a long time, we kind of made it a point not to talk about things that were timely or topical. Number one, like, you know, you don't know how that's going to come across when you spark on something that can be controversial, right? It's not to stay away from controversy. It's just like, also it spoils really easily in the can. Like you can leave it there for 2 days and all of a sudden it's not news anymore. And you're talking about something old.
Yeah.
But then I think satire is so much easier than hitting stuff nose on. Like I'm not the Daily Show, right? I'm not going to be the Daily Show. But an example that you just gave, we were talking about the lawsuit against the tequila company that's going on right now, claiming that the tequila,
the agave
is not the agave, right? There's no agave in the tequila and people
they're
are
not at the level that they're saying it.
And I use that as a platform to spin the angle that everyone's trying to get everyone one over on everybody. And that just seems permissible. That's the way we do business these days. And then also, does anyone that's drinking Jose Cuervo even fucking care how much agave is in their tequila. I mean, why are people so angry about that? They seem just fine drinking their margaritas regardless, right? So
I mean, that's what's kept me from being an alcoholic is that I just don't trust
the agave,
the ingredients, man.
Yeah, people die drinking that shit. Remember those people in Mexico were dying because they were drinking like the bottles of liquor inside of the resorts. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, congratulations to you.
Yeah, new timeshares available. I don't know if you're shopping.
By now.
Yeah, I think the unit on the bottom floor by the beach has opened up.
I'm just thinking of the time I went to the Hard Rock Resort in Dominican Republic, and they did have those bottles of liquor in the room. You would just like press the button and out would come the liquor.
That's crazy.
How glad I am that I wasn't drinking alcohol at that time.
The Hard Rock brand is the modern conquistador. I mean, that brand is everywhere.
It really is.
It is. You want to talk about American imperialism? It's the Hard Rock Cafe. That thing could, I think, the only places left. I think they have everywhere. I think they're in all 180 countries.
That's it. They are everywhere. They're here in Atlanta. Atlanta's thinking about, has always been thinking about, whether or not they open up a gambling zone like they have in New Orleans, like a 10 square mile area where that you can put casinos to get in on, you know,
the cash?
Crippling addiction that's going around the United States of America.
I mean, might as well.
Add another one.
That's right. So Hard Rock, in their infinite wisdom and business acumen, bought some of the most expensive property in downtown Atlanta to build a hotel with a big empty lot next to it, just in case. Mm-hmm. And it just, it just shows, you're right. It's about imperial. It's about taking over, right? Where can we be? Dude. Where can we get it? Where can we take one over on people?
I just think it's hilarious because you could go to like rural Phuket in Thailand.
Yeah.
And it's all hostels, but you'll round a corner and you'll be like, what is that? 72 palm tree superstructure. Is that a fucking and they're there, you know?
That's it.
That's wild. Yeah. They are everywhere.
They are everywhere. What is you ever had an interaction with somebody, like when you go out in these live shows, you're doing material that's edgy or dark, you know, edgy to some people or dark or whatever it is. You ever have interactions that are not pleasant? You ever had any wild interactions out there?
Oh, yeah, you know, people just, you know, follow me to my hotel, hiding in my closet.
What?
Wake up in the middle of the night. There's a blade to my neck. Oh, yeah, dude.
What?
Yeah.
A blade to the neck.
That's why, as a comedian, you have to do Navy SEALs training.
Holy shit.
I'm opening a special school for comedians where it's actually, we mimic buds. We mimic the beginning stages of a SEAL's journey. And I mean, we do it all, you know, like we do the whole like hoorah where you put 20 comedians on the beach in the tent and you wake them up with bombs.
Biggest
and
Loser
grenades.
Style?
Yeah. It's all hecklers and they're armed with real ammunition. You know, we're doing real Alec Baldwin stuff.
Live.
And it's, you know, so, have I said jokes and have people try to slice my throat in the middle of the night? Yeah, but I'm equipped for things like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I've studied counterterrorism techniques. I always
Krav Maga.
With a 3D printed gun, you know, I can assemble it. It's like golden gun from GoldenEye. I can just, you know, I pull out a pencil, a lighter, and a small fleshlight, and
boom.
You know, yeah. So... Yeah, no, I mean, I've had some weird interactions. I had a guy, but this is like my favorite story to tell because he completely owned me and it was so funny. I was at a bar shooting pool in Charlotte, and he walks up to me. He's objectively a funny looking guy. Like he's kind of short and round, really, really big eyes, quadrifocals. I mean, a straight cartoon
quadrifocals.
And he looks up at me with like his, you know, Hubble telescope eyeballs and he goes, "Oh, you're the comedian guy." I go, "Yeah, what's up, man?" He's like, "I was just at your show." I said, "Oh, cool." He's like, "I walked out." I was like,
"Oh." I walked out.
And then he started telling me one of my jokes was offensive and I said, "Which one?" And then we started to explain it. I was like, "Well, you're not really saying it right." And then I started going into my act in front of him. I'm like, "No, actually what I said was," and then my tour manager, God bless him, I love him, you know, he's from Philly.
Okay.
And he didn't tolerate even one more minute of this shit. He just stepped in and he goes, what the fuck are you on about? And then the guy just starts, you know, repeating himself. I think me and this guy are a little bit, you know, we're undiagnosed. Like, we both have special interests. So
yeah,
he and I were actually having a podcast with each other. Yeah. We were just, you know, talking at each other. And my tour manager would not tolerate a second of it. So he just starts going in on this guy. And he's like, hey, man, when you watch a movie you don't like, do you message the director that you didn't like the movie? The guy's like, well, no. He's like, exactly. So shut the fuck up. And then he starts yelling at him. He's like, you walked out. You didn't see the ending of the movie. How can you say hey to movie? And then it got really funny because then I'm like, what is this metaphor?
It's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then his wife showed up and then we rehashed the whole thing.
Oh, God. Three of us.
So now it's just like some Three Stooges Charlie Chaplin thing. And then unfortunately this devolved into the two of them having a fight on the patio.
Oh no.
Oh. Like a fist fight on the patio.
No. They're just like,
oh, just like yelling at each other. Yeah.
At which point I felt like I won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that home.
Right.
Take that home. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've definitely had, you know, I've had guys walk out and tell me, fuck you and whatever.
Yeah. People are
yeah.
Weird.
I think it's part of it. Who cares? Part and parcel of it. You learn, I think, early on. I think we learned early on, you know, because the podcast was just objectively bad, and people will tell you that. And they I mean, that's just the truth, right? The podcast is I'm not sure it's much better, but some people have jumped on board and they talk to us.
That's great,
too.
Man. I've watched all 852 episodes.
Nice.
Say,
thank you.
Noel Miller.
That's my entrepreneurial spirit. I watch talent and I watch it develop. And let me tell you, 852 hours later, it has sharpened up.
We are a pencil. That's what Chat TCB tells me.
Mm-hmm.
Says you guys have gotten much better. Congratulations. When Chat GPT even tells you you're mediocre, you've got something wrong. It's designed to tell you you're good.
I mean, you can't really trust Chat GPT, right?
Yeah,
not
it's like
really.
An evil consciousness. It's saying it's not very good.
Yeah.
In fact, you should do more, but you should do practice episodes with me.
That's right.
Do practice episodes with me.
And then ChatGPT is wanting to scan your bodies, and it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's keep doing these practice episodes.
It sucked up the entire podcast, and then it just said, yeah, you guys are okay. You guys are all right. Congratulations on that.
Which is tracked with what we thought. So.
Yeah. You have to have a bit of a thick skin, I think, when you do stuff and you put it out there. There's going to be plenty of people that don't like it. And I'm sure you have your fair share of people that haven't liked. Have you ever done like I was thinking about this earlier today. Have you ever done like a skit or put something in the can or had an idea and then you think better of it or someone goes, no, you should not put that out there. And you go, okay, I maybe think about it.
Yeah, no, I've got plenty of those. I got plenty of bombs. You know, that's kind of why I chose my wife. It's because... I tell her jokes and she just look at me like deer in headlights. She'll go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that dry. And I'm like, fuck. So I got to go figure out how I make her get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing worse than when I say something and my wife is putting on lotion and she's like, ah, that's funny.
You're like, that's the ultimate insult. I know that feeling. My wife is my compass, and if I get a giggle out of her, I know it's likely very funny with other people because I know that there's funny stuff that I say to her, but she on purpose
doesn't laugh.
She downplays it. Yeah. And then sometimes she just tells me straight up, you should not say that. It should not be a thing you should do.
Brian Green.
Yeah. Brian Green. That's how she says it. She goes, Brian Green. And I'll go, okay, maybe not that one.
Yeah. When you can get your longtime partner to say your name, you're like, that's right.
That's the one.
That's the most fucked up thing I've ever said in 72 hours. That's right.
I think I asked this to you last time, but I refresh my memory. Did you always have this kind of dark sense of humor? Is this just like the way your brain ticked? Or did this, I feel like some of my dark sense of humor came to me when I was with my like formative group of friends, right? As a, like a young teenager. And all of a sudden we're all starting to laugh at stuff that is
most people would find sick and disgusting.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it got darker over time.
Yeah.
You know, I think I went through some life experiences and that kind of turned me maybe the wrong way. But yeah, I would say generally, yeah, once I like figured out what was funny to me, I think it started to like skew really dark. But yeah, I actually don't think it was always super dark.
Yeah.
It got there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you go through. I think comedy is one of those things that some people use it in the darkest of moments, the funeral of their parents, the, mm-hmm.
yeah.
the right after the car crash, I got cancer, yeah. right? Stuff like that. And they use humor. And then some people feel much more comfortable in the solemnity of the moment, right? They're like, I'm not laughing at the, you know, I'm taking in what's going on at the funeral. Mm-hmm. So it just depends yeah. on how you choose to cope with life. And comedy is one of those things that lots of people use to cope with life. But some people are just really good at making that observation relatable and funny. Yeah. And yeah. I think mm-hmm. you're one of those people.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I think maybe it comes from a little bit of like, you know, that whole, you know, oh, you're not supposed to laugh right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so what? This guy just got ran over. He's naked.
Right.
He's got a boner. He had an erection.
Got a huge dong. Isn't that hilarious? Isn't that an awesome way to die? This guy's got a yeah. huge can. They got to bring a second ambulance. He's a huge wiener. Isn't that hilarious?
It's true. You get a boner when you die.
Yeah. Is that true? I hope not.
I think it can be true. You get stiff. You get rigor mortis.
I hope not.
It can be. I hope not too. It's the ultimate insult. It's the ultimate. I guess it's the ultimate.
Well, don't you shrink as you get older?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so I don't know what'll be left depending on when I go.
I know. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. If I die at 80. And someone says, like, be careful, he's up. Someone is going to be like, it's fine.
It's okay.
But I think the doctors are saying that because of the prevalence of Cialis, these, you know, Cialis and Viagra and stuff like that, mm-hmm. that men can be sexually active until they die, no matter how old they are. And then women are going along the road. That's why you go down to a place like the Villages in yeah. Florida and you got syphilis running rampant down mm-hmm. there. It's a whole...
And there's a whole swingers.
It's running rampant.
The swinger community we talked about.
That's right.
I mean, it is incredible. This is funny because this is like an idea that has just been in my head. You know, I don't know. I might use this in the show, but I was thinking like even with Cialis and Wi-Fi, like the best we can do for marriages long-term is 50%.
Yeah.
You know, like half of them still fail mm-hmm. despite having these weapons.
Yeah.
And like Cialis is crazy to me because you could take that and like hate your partner.
Yes.
But you could still show up. If you know, yes. you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You can still be miserable in every yeah. other way and but biologically still available. Still available. Mm-hmm. Biologically yeah, still available.
That's great. I didn't realize that old people were getting STDs.
Oh yeah.
Noelle, it's like it really is running rampant and doctors are having to
they're
treat
not using
them
protection
like teenagers.
Yeah, because they're like, whatever, we can't.
Yes, I'll give you
I'm
an example.
Going straight to Google. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Keep going.
Old,
yeah, old people STDs.
Uh-huh, it's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Check it out. So here's an example. My mom lives in a retirement community, you know, 65 and older. And they have a bowl of condoms that is in the office and available to people.
Still?
Yes, it's true. Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's insane because people are, with the availability of these drugs, people are sexually active much later in their life. I mean, like I said, till the day they die. And STDs are a problem. They had a lady come in and talk about it.
The board of OnlyFans is rubbing their grubby little hands together.
Yes.
They love this.
Uh-huh. They love grandma porn, that OnlyFans grandma porn.
That is absurd.
Yeah, have you heard of that place, The Villages, down in Florida?
No.
Okay, The Villages is the largest retirement community besides Sun City, which is out in Phoenix. It's the largest retirement community in the world.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's like 72 square miles. and it's a Disney World for older folks. You could buy a house there.
Get a golf cart.
Get a golf cart. You just drink, and there's drugs and sex and alcohol.
There's a whole documentary.
There's a whole documentary.
Yeah.
About it. Yeah. And yeah, you got to check this out.
Yeah.
So Chrissy and I have been keeping an eye on this because we figure we'll be there pretty soon. And we
swinging away.
Yeah, swinging away.
Swinging away, drugging.
Children.
Yeah.
Drugging, drinking, whatever.
Because here's my thought. If you're going to go hog wild on drugs, if you're going to be a coke addict, smoke crack, do crystal meth, you don't dabble in it when you're a kid just so you know what it's all about. But then you go hog wild hard when you retire, when you're close to death, because who fucking cares at that point, right? If you're a crack addict. I mean, besides your neighbors, who cares? Like, go ahead, do it. And these people are doing it down in the villages. There's all kind of crazy shit happening down there.
They're definitely doing psychedelics.
Definitely. They're doing a lot of mushrooms, a lot of weed, and coke, apparently, is a thing, too. So
it must be, you know.
Because when you think about when you're younger and you take multiple substances, it takes a certain amount of focus.
Yes.
To, like, manage that mind state. I mean, they must be living multiple days in a single night.
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
get high, and then they take Cialis, and they do a little something else. And
a little toot, yeah.
They must wake up feeling like,
shit.
Am I dead?
Like, right.
I might be.
Yeah.
Not yet.
That is fascinating. I didn't, wow, old people, hey.
Yeah. Look it up. You might have there's a routine there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And now they've got loofahs that they put on their golf carts to indicate if they swing, what kind of swinger they are. So orange, yellow is like, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Dude, swinging at 70 sounds awful.
Yeah.
Yes. It sounds awful at 40. It sounds awful. It just, I don't know that I want to watch my wife get pounded by her and listen to it or hear it or, you know? If you're going to have an affair with the pool boy, do it like everybody else does and while I'm on a business trip. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Be respectful about it. I don't want to go to a party and then know you're going to have sex with a 22-year-old Latin male.
That pre-swing small talk must be graining.
Yes. Yes.
You're on a double first date?
So.
See, and this is where something like that just brings me existential dread. If I'm sitting there, and probably, you know, if I was actually a swinger, I probably am a lot hornier than I am in my own body. But if I'm sitting there with my wife and we got to meet this weird couple that's like, we love your shirts. I'm like,
no.
You're going to fuck my wife in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Leave
me alone.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this? So he likes two hands on the shaft when you're knobbing the head. I mean, honestly, he's right. He's 100% right.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I think it is crazy. And listen, to each their own. And
yeah,
I'm sure that
more power to the ones that like it.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever
floats
your boat. Orgy is listening to this podcast right now. Keep doing you.
Yes.
Keep doing your thing.
But if swinging is an existential dread, then what causes me like dead dread is cucking. That to me is like the thing that I go, what happened to you as a child? That
outsourcing, man.
Yeah, outsourcing. I and listen, if you're like, I can understand. I get terminally ill, and then you know, my wife, I'm sick for a long time. I can't perform. My waist doesn't work. Down below, my waist doesn't work. I can understand handing the keys to the car and saying, "Take her for a drive," because her battery doesn't die, right? But what feels really scary to me is the people who are like fully capable, but I still want to sit in the closet and watch.
That's right.
That's weird.
Yeah,
that's just weird. Yeah. Again, to each their own. For me, it's dead dread. Dead dread.
I think that's like a deep self-hatred.
I agree.
I'm worthless and I need to experience it in real time.
Yes.
Now, someone who is an avid consumer of their wife having affairs might message me after this and be like, you don't understand. You're right. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You should just reply, stop there. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Noel Miller is on tour right now. NoelMillerLive.com is where you can NoelMiller.com.
And by the way, you know, if you come see me on tour, we sell a unique merch line. You know, most performers, they sell t-shirts, hoodies. We actually sell our own cuck chair.
There you go.
It folds in four pieces. It disassembles. It fits in a carry-on. Extremely comfortable. You can take it to whatever weird hotel And I know hotels typically come equipped with cuck chairs, but this one is sort of like a break-in case.
It's got an iPhone tripod.
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, I didn't even get to go over the features. So it's got a built-in fan. So, you know, like the little fan that you get at a theme park. Got that with a mister.
Yep.
It does have two USB-C ports. Oh, and you have a standard USB-A port. Yeah, it's incredible. And it also doubles as a laptop cooler. So,
oh, there you go.
And for the low, low price of $59.99.
Yeah. And
perfect.
And a fleshlight.
Yes, yes.
A fleshlight for all, so that you can get off while she's getting off. Everyone's getting off.
Yeah. Now, and this is just, you know, just so we're transparent, this is not a standard size fleshlight. No, this is a half light.
This is a mini
all the way in there. This is, you know. This,
yeah.
It's just for titillation, if you're looking for a word.
So. My cheeks hurt.
But we do have t-shirts, too. We have t-shirts, too.
Trucker hats available.
Yeah. Yeah, for the lot lizards. All right.
Noel.
Took it somewhere nasty. I apologize.
No, it's all good.
No, this is just another episode of the commercial break, by the way. We've said nothing that we don't already normally say. Okay,
cool.
We just talked about explosive diarrhea on the last episode, so we're taking it to new heights here.
Hey, dude.
More mediocre comedy it's not pleasant. Noel Miller. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming back.
Yeah, of course.
Part two.
Part two. Thank you very much for coming back. Congratulations on the new garage door, and congratulations on the baby.
Thank you, guys.
All the links.
Congratulations on 852 episodes.
Thank you.
Only 800 more.
Yeah.
You know? We just signed for 800 more. So there we go. So.
Okay, to infinity and beyond.
To infinity. Yeah. That should be our new tagline. Thank you so much.
Guys.
Talk soon.
Thank you, guys. All right, this is awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
That went so many places, I don't even know what to say. I think
that was a lot of fun.
If we were to have Noel here for a few episodes with us, I have a feeling he would fit right in.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he would fit right in with our twisted, sick sense of humor. He's really funny. My cheeks hurt. I was laughing so hard. That was good. That was good. I'm surprised he hasn't caught on to the Villages thing yet.
No, I know.
You would think a guy like that would have his finger on the pulse of the Villages. Well, he's closer to college than he is to the Villages, where we're closer to the Villages than we are to college. So I guess you can kind of understand where that one was going to go. But Noel Miller at noelmillerlive.com. Tickets are available for all of his shows right now. He's on tour through November. It looks like he'll be here in Atlanta.
Yeah, we need to go.
Thanksgiving week, though, like the week leading up to Thanksgiving. Maybe we should...
I think we should do a field trip.
Yeah, a field trip to go see Noel at Center Stage.
Yeah,
where I saw Pauly Shore.
That's right.
I don't think I've seen a comedian there since Pauly Shore. But I've been to that bar a few times, Ten High, and gotten kicked out. We've been to that bar a few times. You got kicked out for playing the drums of the Rage Against the Machine cover band.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. Ah, the good old days when getting kicked out of a bar was fun. Now I make it a point not to get kicked out of the bars I go to.
Yes.
Anyway, all of Noel's stuff is down in the show notes. All of the links to the pertinence, the social media, the podcast network, YouTube. I don't know what else to say. He's got so much shit. I think this is going to be like 4 pages worth of links when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
But thank you very much, Noel, for coming and wrapping it up with us. Proper gentleman. Proper gentleman.
and his baby was sleeping the whole time. At first, I was wondering why he was talking so softly, because I remember last time he wasn't, and then I figured it out. He doesn't want to wake up the fucking kid. Never wake up a sleeping baby. Never. All right, so yeah, we'll be back tomorrow with more fun and shenanigans. Got a good episode lined up for you, so do tune in. Download that. Follow us on your favorite podcast player. Leave a nice review if you're so inclined. Or you can go to our Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break. You can try and follow us on TikTok if you can find us, TCB Podcast. I don't know if there's any content up there, but feel free. I think we have like 100 people that follow us. But sounds we haven't posted anything in 2 years. Yeah. So there you go. There's that too. Maybe we should do that. We should think about TikTok. YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all of the episodes on video where permissible. I just found out one of our videos got banned in Russia. In Russia, because I was talking about Russians.
Oh, really?
Yes. All the audio, all the video, your free sticker at the Contact Us button. Also, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. Hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, Chrissy. I guess that's all we can do for today.
I think so.
I'll say that I love you.
And I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. To infinity and beyond. Until next time, we will say, we do say, we must say.
Goodbye.